Today's episode is with author Heidi Herman, and we talk about her book, On With the Butter. And it's not what you think. It's not a recipe book. It's a book about her mom's philosophy on life, or philosophies. And her mother sounds like an amazing soul. She's no longer with us, but it is really well done. I love the way Heidi put it together, not only talking about her mom's philosophies, but it's action oriented. Each chapter at the end has a challenge where you can suggest actions to embrace and live that philosophy. And she talks about her mom in this episode and how her mom went through life as just always finding something to do that was purposeful. She started as a wife and became a mother of 10, crazy, crazy woman. And she always had something to sink her teeth into and to embrace life about. And she wrote a book when she was 93 about the things that she did new in her life at 93 years old, which Heidi worked with her mom on, and then which really led to inspiring Heidi to write this book. So we talk a lot about her mom in this, and it's clear that she has this great love and affection for her mom. And I know she misses her mom. I just wish that I still could document my mom's experiences and philosophy, but it's kind of left. You know, my mom isn't available anymore mentally to share her experiences in any of this. So if anything can happen from this episode and my talk with Heidi, I hope it inspires you to capture some great, document your parents' memories, because once they are mentally unavailable, then they're gone forever. And there are so many things about my mom's life that I don't know. I only know my life. I don't know her life, but it does make me realize that I need to document my life for my children and my grandchildren. So as you listen to this, I would love for you to think about that and how, after you listen, what steps can you take to make sure that your memories, your history, your experiences are documented, your philosophies of life are documented. So it's a great episode. I hope you listen and love it as much as I enjoy talking to Heidi. Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that the younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today I have with me Heidi Herman. And Heidi, she comes from South Dakota, and she's 52. So she qualifies as an official midlifer with an inspirational story. And she has a book, a new book she wrote, and it's got an interesting title. She'll tell you why it's titled that. I love that. On With the Butter. And all of us who worry about how fat butter is for us, it's really not about butter, is it? But yeah, she sent me a copy and we're going to talk about it. And I love how it came about. And so welcome, Heidi. How are you today?
Thank you so much, Lori. I'm happy to be here with you this morning.
Yes. So we talked a little bit before we hit record, and I loved, because it's in the intro, about how this is really inspired by your mom. Mm-hmm. And she's from Iceland. I did spend the night at the Iceland airport once, and I have a great hat to show for it. So, yeah. And your dad was there. He illegally got into the army before he was of age. And so did they meet in Iceland?
He was actually in the Navy, and he lied about his age to enlist, and it was during World War II, and he got stationed in Keflavik, which is right outside Reykjavik. My mom was from there. She was a native, and they met at a USO dance. Mm-hmm.
That's so great. And so I guess she came to the States.
She did. They got married, and she immigrated, came over on a troop ship, and moved here in 1946, and spent the rest of her life here in the United States, raised a family, and she was always connected to our Icelandic heritage, shared that with each of her children, and I've been back a number of times with her and on my own.
I love that she did that. There was a story about her breaking out in a dance, and it seemed like it was something to do with her Icelandic heritage. So what led you to start writing? Did you always write, or did you at some point have this kind of midlife aha moment?
I always loved writing, but I never really felt like it was a focus of my life. It was always kind of like engaged in whatever I was doing.
So what did you do before this? Like, so you're 52. Mm-hmm. So did you have some kind of, like, you said your dad was sick, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of stuff changed because you thought life was short. You were 48, you said, when your dad was diagnosed or was recovering. I don't know. So tell me what happened in that moment in time in your life.
My career focus, I was in telecommunications, and so I was a consultant. I did analytical work, and my focus was on auditing phone bills, and I used to tell people what I did for a living, I argued with the phone company, and I saved companies money, but it was very analytical, and I felt like every day was so argumentative and so antagonistic. And that permeates your life. What you do for a living, it blends and it bleeds into every part. And in 2012, my father was diagnosed with stage 3 esophagus cancer. 20 years before, he had had a kidney removed from cancer. He had had treatment for skin cancer, and now it was esophagus cancer. And it was to the stage where they told us to come back for the holidays to say goodbye. But he was a fighter, and he went through chemo, he went through radiation, he had the surgery to be fed straight through his stomach, and he was told that that was irreversible. But 6-7 months later, he was cancer-free. He beat it at the age of 90. And that was truly my aha moment, because you live life with the understanding that life is short and you need to grab onto every opportunity and really live your life. But I was 48 at the time, and I'm looking at my father at the age of 90, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I have another 45 or 50 years to live if my parents are any indication. Life is too long to be unhappy. And so I really took stock of my life and I assessed, do I love my job? Do I love what I'm doing with my life? And I didn't. I didn't. It was a huge risk, but I took early retirement and I decided to focus on finding what I loved. Part of it was writing, and that has led to On With the Butter is now my 6th book. And I love it. I'm a little all over the place in my genres, but I have loved everything that I've done. And that was my aha moment. It's like, yeah, life's short, but my goodness, from a different perspective, it's long.
What a great quote. And did you said you're in your second marriage. So did you also decide to change your life completely in that way, or was that already in process?
Yeah, I did. It was part of my process.
It was a 180. I'm 47. I did it. So like you and I were kind of the same timeline.
Yeah, it was something where you had to say, is this me? Is this what I want? And I did try to see if I could change my marriage and the focus, but to ask your partner in life to completely change their path because you want to change your path, it's unfair. And you can try, but if you're pushing them too far out of their comfort zone, it has to be, you know, that maybe you go your separate ways. And he's a wonderful person. He's a wonderful man. And, you know, I love him as a person, but it just wasn't a good path for me anymore. And I had to go a different direction. So,
yeah. And I'm a firm believer of, if you aren't happy, then your partner can't be happy either. So in a way, if you need to separate, you're releasing them from and letting them find happiness.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Releasing them, because otherwise you're going to pin them in and push them in a direction they don't want to go. And now all of a sudden you're happy and they're not happy. So yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So tell me how the book was inspired, mm-hmm. and share a little bit about your mom.
Yeah. My mom was just always having this huge zest for life and active and embracing all types of new activities. She always said that she had this Viking adventurous spirit. And if there was a hill, she wanted to know what was on the other side. She wanted to climb it and just see what was there. And even getting married and coming to America, that was the start of her big adventure. And she always lived her life like that. And when she was 88, one of my sisters gave her a paragliding experience for her birthday, which loved, of course.
Off of what? A mountain?
It was in Utah. Yeah. And they went off a hill, and she had this wonderful video. And even at
my mouth is like gaping for those of you who are listening and can't see me on video. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And when the guide, she was tandem. So he asked, hey, are you good with some flips and that? And she's like, sure. And so they're up there. We have video of her doing flips and, you know, all this craziness that most of us are like, I can't even imagine.
So she must have been in pretty good shape.
Yeah. That was part of her whole idea, what she shared. And somebody wrote an article about her and that trip and said that she was 88 and feeling great. And that sort of just inspired so much. The next year, she said she was 89 and feeling fine. And she had written her memoirs of growing up in Iceland. And that inspired me to write my first book, which was some children's folklore. And she and I kind of sparked off each other, I guess, and we inspired each other to keep writing. And then she wrote another book on young adult fiction based in Iceland. And then I wrote some folklore, and then we wrote a cookbook together, and we started traveling and doing Scandinavian festivals. And, you know, she became 90, and for her 90th birthday, she ziplined the Mall of America, which was totally awesome.
Because there's a big, I know, roller coaster and theme park inside that. So they have a zip line in there too. Oh, wow.
They do. So as we were traveling, we started speaking more, and it kind of inspired other people to really notice, wow, now she's 91. Now she's 92 and doing all these amazing things. And then in the midst of this, she had a stroke. And immediately, when she first had the symptoms, they were like extreme vertigo. And she immediately called to me. She was living with me at the time. And we got her to the hospital, got treatment, and she got through it. And then everybody wanted to know about that experience. And she realized that this was an opportunity to really talk to people about her philosophy on life. And so she started telling people, it's all about just keep moving. And that became her mantra about physical activity, just getting up and moving around, getting out of your chair.
It's and you know what? It's so funny, because one of the things I always say is when we're in the midst of a struggle, like she had the stroke or, you know, something that we think is the worst thing that could have happened to us, it becomes a lesson or a gift. And she, this book probably would have never happened if she hadn't had that stroke.
Exactly. Because that's what really snowballed everything. She had been talking some before then, but after the stroke, it really became a platform for her. Just keep moving and embrace life, engage in life. and stay active and physically fit is great, but there's almost a difference between the exercise and then a kinetic movement, just stretching your muscles and staying active. So that sort of led to this idea of 93 and new to me. So she started on her 93rd birthday doing 93 activities that she had never done before in her life before her 94th birthday. And that was just awesome. And it was fantastic. And
I'm sure these were all documented because
yes,
we had the internet and stuff. Yeah.
Yes. We were documenting it on her Facebook page and her Instagram with lots of photos and lots of interaction, and people were writing in and giving her ideas. And it became this wonderful year to show that you're never too old for something new. And that year and that documentation really fed into my book, because hers was entitled Never Too Late, and it goes through these 93 new experiences. And I wrote this complimentary book that kind of delves into the philosophy more on, it's great when you see somebody else that's doing this, but how can you do it yourself? How can you really absorb in that philosophy and find the guidance to do it yourself? And I was reading,
What struck with me when I first opened this was, when I first got into business and I wanted to expand into really helping people find purpose, it was I didn't even really know what I was doing at the time, but I just knew I wanted to spread positivity. So I did this free ebook called The Positivity Playbook. And it almost reminded me of, except, much thicker, expanded version, because that's what it is. It's like a guidebook on how to have a happier life. And so mm-hmm. I love how, the other thing I love about your book is that you have a little challenge. So you have a little checklist of activities. Uh-huh. To each chapter is a specific philosophy, right? And then you have a little checklist on how to kind of experience that philosophy. So I love that technique. And was that something that you were envisioning when you started to write the book, or did it kind of come out of just starting the book?
Well, it developed over time, because I really wasn't sure exactly how I wanted to do it. And I just knew I wanted to continue my mom's message. And I wanted to continue to share it, because people would ask her, wow, how do you do this? How do you come up with the ideas? And after she passed away, I realized that I knew how she did it, because she had been teaching me that philosophy my whole life. And I had embraced that philosophy. I go whitewater rafting, and I learned how to fly an airplane, and I have gone indoor.
Is that what you did? You said I learned how to fly, and I was like, I wonder if that's what do you say? Fly above the nest, kind of a metaphor, or did she really learn how to fly?
I really got into an airplane behind the stick and learned.
I have my pilot's license, so that was intriguing to me. I got it when I was 21 because I wanted to prove that I could do something that mostly men do.
Exactly.
Stupid. I broke up with my boyfriend. I was like, I'm going to do something, and it was so funny. So funny. Yeah. So that's so cool that you she influenced you like that. And one of the things we were talking before we got onto this episode is that I feel like this to me is something that everyone should do in terms of documenting what kind of the memories and the inspiration that a parent or both parents left them. Mm-hmm. Because what a tribute and what a record to keep. This is like a legacy that you can carry down. This was your grandma. This was your great grandma. This is what the philosophy she lived by. And so she's no longer alive, but she's still living in a sense through your book. And I love that example of what you've done with this. And yeah, not only help people with what the content of the book is, of course, yes, mm-hmm. but there's this further and deeper thing that I feel can happen with it.
Absolutely. And it's how you can keep them alive in the philosophy and in how you live life. And that's one of the things that I go through in the book. There's a chapter on family, on how you can integrate activities. And that's every chapter of the book gives you a topic, whether it's food or family or outdoor. And then I incorporate different stories and ideas on how you can find activity there. And there's one that I make reference to, and it's called the Grandmother Project. And it's taking connection between grandchildren and grandparents and getting them to videotape, whether it's grandpa doing crafts or teaching a trade or grandma in the kitchen, or let's not be sexist, maybe grandpa's in the kitchen and, you know, maybe he's making his secret barbecue sauce or, you know, special chocolate cake. We don't want to lose those recipes and that connection. So they encourage grandchildren to videotape their grandparents doing some activity or sharing some special skill that they have. So
I love that you also have a technology one, which I love. I forget what it's called. Is it Keep Learning? Maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but it a technology one, which struck me because so many people get scared of technology, and you have all these reasons why technology is good and ideas for how you can use technology. And that reminded me of it because, you know, so the grandchildren can record. But one of the things I do with my grandchildren, and this made me think, gosh, I did that the last time they visited, but for like 3 years in a row when they visited, I had an album on Facebook and it's called The Grandkids Come to Visit Nanny and Grampy, because that's what we're called. And there's all these pictures, and it's like, so their mom and dad and my other daughter, and they can go and see what we're doing. But it's like a documented, and I thought, oh my goodness, there's so much there that is like treasured memories that you can capture using technology. And that's one of the philosophies of keep learning. But it was kind of like around, I mean, it was around other things too, but technology was a part of it. I love that.
Yes, I have one chapter on just keep learning, and I actually have a different chapter on using innovation and technology. Recording all this is fabulous, but at the core of all this is how to use all these things to incorporate more activity into your life. It's great when we're younger, but especially more important as we get older. And so many people, I love that chapter because so many people look at technology and innovation as something that has made our life sedentary and, you know, has kept us from activity. But in reality, you can use that technology to add activity to your life, like recording things with the grandkids and to establish that those keepsake memories. You're not taking pictures of you guys just sitting on the couch, or, you know, you're doing things and you're being active. So in order to create that album and to create those memories, you're incorporating activity and action and those memories together. So I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And if you just keep it on your phone, chances are you might lose your pictures. So you got to have something recorded and stored somewhere, right? So, okay. What is on with the butter? So people know, I don't think we got to that.
Yeah. So coming back to that. So my mom's mantra was just keep moving. You know, that's what she always preached. And I was reading an article, an Icelandic newspaper, and it made reference to this expression, Afram Mithsmorthid. And it literally translates to on with the butter. And that is an expression that means just keep moving, keep doing what you're doing, forge ahead. And I thought, oh my gosh, not only is it fun to say, on with the butter,
when I first heard it, it made me think, well, it's a recipe book. And the other thing is I thought, oh, because then I saw a snippet of it or something. And I said, oh, on with the butter means life's too short. You know, like go ahead and put the butter on because you never know.
There you go.
So yeah. I love it. And then so I learned a new expression, which I'd never heard. YOLO.
YOLO.
I've never heard that. I mean, you only live once, for those of you who don't know. And I've heard you only live once, but I love the YOLO.
I borrowed that from one of my younger friends because it's just something that they say a lot. YOLO, YOLO. And I just thought, okay, that's fun too. I'm going to borrow that and put that in here because it's all about this upbeat, you know, have zest for life, embrace the moment. And it doesn't matter what activity level you're talking about. And it doesn't matter whether you're engaging in a physical way or a mental way or a social way, just embrace life.
Keep experiencing exactly. life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And keep, like your mom's 93 and what was it called? 93 and new?
93 and new to me.
New to me. Yeah. And then there, I highlighted this as well because I think it's important for people to know the definition of happiness is different for everyone. So we have to figure out what makes us happy.
Exactly.
And I think when you come into the second half, mm-hmm. what we're realizing is we've been spending a lot of moms in particular have been spending a lot of their lives making other people happy. And so it's their time now to focus on what makes them happy and find that.
Yeah. And we talked about this briefly before we started recording that so many of us have our personality and our social group connected with our career. And when you start looking at the end of that career time and transitioning into retirement, there's excitement, but there's also a little bit of insecurity and fear that you're losing your purpose in life. You might be losing your connection to friends and you lose some of that respect and the value of being a mentor to other people in your job. And we have to know and understand that and take that with us into retirement. Being able to take some of that and continuing to consult in a volunteer way, working with the Chamber of Commerce. I work with other authors in critique groups. So there are things that I can take from my professional career and I put into my enjoyment in retirement. The awesome thing now is I'm not tied to a calendar. I'm not tied to a clock. All the pressure is gone, but I can still feel like I'm contributing, like I'm valuable, and I can feel good about what I'm doing. But then at any point in time, I can stop and say, I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to go bake some cookies. I'm going to go on a hike. I'm going to take a drive and try a new restaurant. I mean, whatever it is. COVID has kind of, you know, curtailed some of that, but now we have the challenge of saying, how can I do super fun things and get out there and experience life with these limitations?
Okay. Yeah. How much do you think that purpose plays into this? Like a lot of people feel like their purpose is their children. And mm-hmm. I found major purpose in coaching as I got into my midlife. And I always did a job that was like the corporate job that I wasn't fulfilled in. And then it took me a long time to really figure out what I love to do. In hindsight, if I was really listening to my inner voice, I probably would have gotten, you know, a therapy. I might have been a therapist, but I feel like I think about my mom as an example. And my mom was a guidance counselor and a school teacher. She started as an English teacher. And my dad was a history teacher and he became an assistant principal. And so they did their job. And funny how I did it too. They modeled this for me, right? But they did what paid the bills, what made the money. And of course it wasn't a lot of money, but I remember they always lived paycheck to paycheck. And so when my dad became eligible to retire and they fortunately had a really good, they were early enough, they got a really good retirement system. So they retired at 50 and 52 and then they really did nothing. They had no purpose really. They just kind of like hung out, socialized, they got a RV and they ended up honestly drinking too much. And my dad died. I mean, they did this for 20 years. So they had fun, but and then my mom, after my dad died, her whole purpose was him. You know, her whole life revolved around him. He wanted to retire. So she retired with him. She didn't really want to retire. She was a book author. She had written a book and self-published it, but that would be something that she could have done in her retirement.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah. So I feel like there, I mean, it's great to have fun, but I think there needs to be an underlying purpose because, well, and some people need income too, because nowadays a lot of people can't retire and have the income coming in. Some of the retirement systems that used to exist don't. And it's just to me so sad because there could have been purpose in her life. And so now she is in an assisted living since my dad, well, a couple of years, she just basically checked out when he died. And she's basically bedridden. She doesn't even care about her children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. And she's basically just breathing and surviving. She knows people. And, and so that when we were talking about your mom and documenting her legacy, I've tried to go in there and say, so tell me about your childhood. What was the biggest memory of your dad and what you did with your dad? What was the, you know, cause there is a book you can get that like gives you question prompts so you can actually document stuff and it's gone. It's gone. And so it's just so sad that, and she's like so much younger than your mom. She's like 83. So I believe that, and I do think your mom had a purpose because her purpose was inspiring other people. Like she had a purpose of doing that 93 and new to me. That was like her year purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like you can't just like flail around. And that's, of course, that's what I think. So I would love to know what you think about that. And do you think you need more, a little bit more substance and direction on what you're doing?
I think so. Even if it's something that's just important to you, because even before my mom had the stroke and started really focusing on encouraging people to be active and engage in life, before that, she had this desire to share more of her Icelandic heritage. That's where her first book came in, where she wrote about growing up in Iceland. She really wanted people to know about Iceland, about the country, about the people. And before that, yeah, she worked very closely with my father. He was a pastor of a church, a minister, and she worked a lot with him and helping him with the church. And before that, she took care of the kids and she had her own business. So at different stages in her life, she had various different things that were her focus.
Yeah, and I read that your dad had cancer. He struggled with cancer and then kind of like conquered it, it sounded like, for a period. But what happened when he died? Because she clearly was alone for a while. What did she do? How did she handle that? Because I think a lot of women do invest a lot in their spouses. And it's hard to kind of navigate life after they die, like my mom. So tell me what your mom did and how she handled that.
I know for me, I felt so fortunate to have, you know, the family that I did. And I think the reverse is true for my mom is because she had 10 children. And as soon as my father passed, one of my sisters moved in with mom and then later, both of them moved in with me, and mom and I started hanging out and doing a lot of the writing and festivals. But each one of my siblings, we all have different focus on different things. And so mom would kind of travel from one to another, and she would then get pulled in and engaged in those activities. And it gave her such a full, rich life. She would joke that she was a UPS package and she would get shipped off to the next one.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So I guess the answer is have lots of kids.
You can have lots of biological children or adoptive children. And I know for me up here in South Dakota, I have a couple of adoptive moms now and, you know, aunts and people that I connect with. And it's just so enriching to connect with those younger or older than you so you can absorb that life perspective from someone else. And it brings so much more depth to your own life and introduces you to things that you never even considered doing before and activities. And it's like, wow, okay, that was kind of fun, but I didn't even know that was a thing until somebody introduced me to it. So
yeah. So it's the social connections that are key. And that's, I think in research is And I know you allude to some research in your book. So there's some scientific backing to some of your philosophy points. But yeah, so the longer you live longer, the more social connections, or more vitally, you know, mm-hmm. and the brain is more vital as you have maintained, and more reason for living and staying here is those connections. So what's your favorite chapter? What was the favorite one of writing?
I have to say I loved writing every chapter, but I think the one on being bold or walk on the wild side.
Walk on the wild side. And like I said, I haven't read in depth all of the chapters, but walk on the wild side intrigued me.
It was all about getting out of your comfort zone and doing something that, you know, almost like I'm the type of person that would never blank. And then, you know, find ways that you could actually move towards that one thing that you don't think you're that type of person. Because it allows us to grow so much, and it introduces us to a much broader understanding of the world. We understand other people better, and it just grows our empathy. Plus, it's fun. You know, when you say, I'm not really someone who likes heights, but learning how to fly an airplane was really getting out of my comfort zone. But that wasn't nearly as bad, honestly, as the first time I went to a water park and went up on those really high slides that all of a sudden you're up there and you go belly first down this unbelievably long slide. And it was terrifying.
Have you ever been to Atlantis? They have like a vertical slide that is like, oh my God, it is so scary. I thought, do you ever watch the show Amazing Race? Yeah. That was one of the challenges, and they dropped out because the girl would not go down it. And I went down it. It was so scary. You know, it's like the first time you rip the banding off and then you go. But the walk on the wild side quote is really good because it's Ralph Waldo Emerson quote. So if I can read it, because I have my contacts on, let me see. Do not be too timid and squeamish about your actions. All life is an experiment. The more experiments you make, the better. I love that. And the song is good too. I think our age group probably remembers that song, right? I can't even remember what band it was, but. All right. This is so great. So it's a fabulous that you have written and documented your mom's legacy, and that has been such a big part of your life, and that you're carrying on her legacy in your actions, and that people are going to read this book and a little bit of your mom is going to go with them.
Yeah.
And I just absolutely love that. So what is next for you? What you've got, this book just came out in August. I know you have been a guest on some podcasts. Mm-hmm. People can buy your book on Amazon.
On Amazon and in Barnes and Noble stores. If they don't have it in stock, just ask them, they'll order it. And then, of course, lots of local bookstores in South Dakota. I do have some, where allowable, some speaking engagements coming up and some in-person appearances. And I'm definitely looking forward to next year engaging more and talking to people more about these philosophies and how they can engage more in life. So I'm looking forward to that. And I have a couple more books that I'm working on now. So hopefully we'll be able to continue this message and expand and get people more excited about live every day to the fullest until you're done. And that has to be one of, I had to laugh, you know, when I was researching some of these quotes, and the very last page that I did, my favorite quote, because it's so much fun. Enjoy life. There's plenty of time to be dead. And what tickled me so much about that quote is it's from Hans Christian Andersen, who wrote The Little Mermaid and The Ugly Duckling. So it was just, it almost seemed out of character for someone who wrote children's books to have something so, that from an American standpoint, almost seems like it's depressing. But realistically, from a Scandinavian point of view, it's actually very uplifting and encouraging. It means embrace life, enjoy life. Ech, you know, there's an end to life. It's the circle of life, right? It's coming. There's plenty of time to be dead. Don't worry about that. Enjoy today because you're here today.
The now. Yeah. And then I just turned to this. So since I turned to it, it must be meant to be said. This is by Oscar Wilde. To live is the rarest thing in the world. Most people exist. That is all.
Yes.
And that certainly wasn't true of your mother. So I'm sure she's looking down on us. And what would you like to say to your mom if she was here? What would you like to say to her?
Do you love the book?
She probably helped you write it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I miss her every day, but through this, she is still here. And I know that she is loving every person who hears this message now. And if there's the slightest bit of motivation where they can say, oh, I could do that. I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're inspiring me to want to go, like, I was thinking of skydiving, but every time I think about jumping out of an airplane, it kind of scares me. But, you know, it's kind of what she did. And, you know, I'm 61, so I have plenty of time to practice, right? 88.
Do the indoor one. I did that.
Yeah. That was amazing. I was like, oh, I feel so light. Yes, that was great.
So if you fall, it's only 3 feet.
Yeah. And I went with the person, so I couldn't get too crazy. You have to be certified or something where we live to do it by yourself. My daughter and I went for my birthday like 2 years ago. That was really fun. All right. So the other thing that would be fun too is if people do, and I love it when people reach out to me, and sometimes I'll get an email. Oh, I did your positivity playbook, and it was so fun. It was like a 5-day thing of positivity. So when they do like a challenge or they do one of the actions, to like email you and reach out to you, I'm sure you love to hear from people who do that, right?
I love to hear from people. And we even set up an On With The Butter Facebook page. So if somebody wants to post a picture or share a little story, they can go on to Facebook and post it on that page. And
I love that. Yay.
Expand the message. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's easy to remember. On With The Butter.
On With The Butter.
On With The Butter. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so happy that I came across you, and I'm going to do this stuff. I'm going to find a new thing to do in honor of your mother, and I'll let you know what it is, and I'll go and post on your page.
All right. This has been so fun. I've really enjoyed just having a nice chat with you this morning.
Yeah. I love to chit chat. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.